Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and yesterday was a fun day. The Saints won, and it looked really good. A couple things for the Saints still to work on, but the Saints looked good, and they won the game. And I'll tell you, the Patriots are coming to town this weekend, and, you know, I'm not saying the Patriots are back, because that would be a real stretch, but the Patriots are coming back. I mean, they looked pretty good last night. They look pretty good. And their quarterback, was it Drake May? This guy has unbelievable potential, and he's doing a good job right now. So, yeah, the Patriots are going to be, I think they're going to be a tough match for the Saints. I think that should be a really good game. So, look, we get to talk about a Saints victory today. And I'm going to run over Scoot's notes, the notes that I took during the game. I'll run over some of those with you, and we'll talk about your impression of the game yesterday. And, you know, a win is a win. But there were some, you know, there were some things that bothered me, and I'm sure some things that bothered you. And you know, I know a win is a win, and that's all that matters, but even when you do well in life, if you didn't do as good as you can do, then you have to talk about that. I mean, nobody should be so satisfied with a win that they don't even think about the things that could get better and the things that need to get better. So we're going to talk about some of that on the show today, but don't misunderstand me. I'm thrilled the Saints won. But again, there were a few things that if things didn't work out, we'd be focusing on these other things and not the fact that the Saints won. So they still have some things to work on, and they know this. But I was really felt great about the game yesterday. But, you know, once again, Spencer Rattler kind of had some difficulty in the red zone. But, man, that bomb to Sheed was just amazing. The guy can throw the ball. And Sheed can run. He can run. We're going to go over some of the key NFL games from yesterday and over the weekend, and then also some of the college football games that were big over the weekend. There were some good games on. I watched some of those Saturday before going to Gretna Fest. So we have a lot to talk about this afternoon. NOPD is solving 75% of the murder cases. And that's really good news. That's very very good news. That's it's a pretty high percentage. Obviously, they want more, but that's a high percentage. In case you haven't noticed, the government is still shut down. Now, you know, sometimes you might wonder, well, how important is the government if the government has been shut down for like 6 days now, and I'm not even noticing any difference? Well, there are some differences, and if this goes on for an extended period of time, then it's going to be more noticeable. So, you know, each side is waiting for the other side to budge. Because if one side budges, then they look weak and they let their side down. Because nobody wants to compromise. And, you know, I got to tell you, we can't blame this all on the politicians. Because we, the American people, maybe not you or me, but as a collective population, we, the American people, take sides, and we want our side to stand up for what we believe is right, and we don't want our side to blink. So the politicians are just doing what we want them to do, and until we can maybe successfully somehow send them a message that we are okay with compromise, then things are never going to change. But I would like both these sides to, you know, is there a way that they could both say at this one moment, they're okay, we're going to change now. Nobody's blinking. Nobody's bowing down. Nobody's pandering to anybody, but we're just going to decide right now. We're going to make a decision. I think it's interesting that House Minority Leader Akeem Jeffries, a Democrat from New York, has challenged House Speaker Mike Johnson to a live debate on the House floor, a live debate about the shutdown. I would love that. That would be awesome. Because it would give us a chance to maybe, see who's doing what. Let them debate each other. Let them come head to head and have a debate about this. I would watch that. So President Trump has announced the White House UFC fight date. Earlier this summer, President Trump talked about wanting to stage a UFC fight at the White House to celebrate the 250th anniversary of America's independence. I don't know what one has to do with the other, but the White House wants to stage a UFC fight. I don't know if we can tell the difference between the fight and the press conference. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. But again, I'm not sure what that has to do with America's 250th celebration, anniversary celebration. But, I don't know. It might be fun. Might be fun to see that. A lot of people will watch. And so I guess it would draw a lot of attention to the White House. So I don't know whether you've heard this or not, but I feel really badly for this person. I mean, I've met him. He seems like such a nice guy. But Devin Lucey, who is the WDSU chief meteorologist, he's been arrested on domestic abuse charges. And apparently something started at Gretna Fest and then ended up at a house in Marrero. And he was taken into custody by Jefferson Parish deputies yesterday at 1:22 in the morning. And he faces charges of domestic abuse battery with child endangerment, a felony under state law. And this also falls under Gwen's law and resisting an officer by refusing to identify and that's a misdemeanor under state law. And you see people and you think you know who they are and you don't know who they are. But I say I feel badly for him. I mean, if he did this, that's horrible. But I feel badly for somebody who feels like abusing a woman is the right course of action. There are a lot of things you can do other than abuse a woman, like nothing. And there's a picture of him, and he's got some scratches on his face, and it looks like some bruises on his cheeks, and apparently, she has the same thing. But I read this today, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is somebody that, a lot of people are watching on a regular basis, and he's been arrested on domestic abuse charges. So, I mean, I hope the female in his life, I hope she's okay. I don't know. I know he was married at one point, I believe, had kids, but I don't know what the status is at this point, and I have no idea, so I don't want to comment on that. And, I remember in Denver, the station that I work for in Denver was KHOW, and they had the midday guy, Tom Martino, the troublemaker. I'm sorry. Yeah, the troubleshooter, not the troublemaker. The troubleshooter. He was a consumer advocate. And if you had some kind of consumer problem, you'd call Tom Martino the troubleshooter. But as it turns out, he did end up being a troublemaker because he was arrested for domestic abuse. And I just, as a man, I just can't figure out what it is in men that thinks they have permission to abuse a woman. I just don't understand. I know that women can say things and do things that drive us crazy. I know that women can challenge our sanity in a lot of ways as we challenge their sanity. But I just don't understand how a man can commit a violent act against a woman. Now, look, I'm sure there are some situations where it might be necessary. But for the most part, I can't imagine one of those situations. But anyway, maybe there's a situation where it's warranted. So I can say that I don't think that this should ever happen. There might be some crazy situation where it is warranted, but I just don't see any reason why a man should touch a woman. So that was really kind of shocking. I don't know any more about it than that. We talk about hate. We talk about how divisive the hate is. We talk about how serious the hate is. There is a Democrat nominee for Attorney General in Virginia said something absolutely horrific. And this does not represent all Democrats. I don't speak for Democrats, but I guarantee you this does not represent Democrats. This Democrat nominee for Attorney General in Virginia, Jay Jones, said that he would like to urinate on the graves of Republican lawmakers and then shoot Todd Gilbert twice. And then he said, quote, "I wish Gilbert's wife could watch her own child die in her arms so that Gilbert might reconsider his political views." He said that to the National Review. That is beyond horrific. But that's the level that some people go to when it comes to hate. And that should not live in this country. And if you think that, just keep your mouth shut and don't say it. And Democrats better come out and denounce this. And Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC was talking about this, and she denounced it in the most uncertain terms. And she's, I would say, moderate to liberal, if not more liberal than moderate. But Democrats have to denounce this because this is just not even close to being acceptable. All right, so you know that Portland doesn't want the ICE people or the National Guard to come in, and the president is making it seem like there's a war zone in Portland. Well, apparently that's not happening. But something kind of interesting is happening in Portland. The anti-ICE protesters have gone to Portland, assuming that the National Guard's coming. And they're so bored, they're getting into little fights and skirmishes themselves because they're bored. They've got nothing to do because there's really nothing to to protest. You know how much time I spend in Portland, and it's not anything like what everybody perceives from 2020 and even to today. So Jimmy Kimmel, who had this big ratings boost after he was put back on the air, has seen the ratings boost go away. He's now back to his original audience. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and also we'll talk about criticism of Fox News for allowing a Democrat on. You know, not everybody's happy with that. They think that Fox News should be basically a spokesperson for the administration. If they want to do that, they have a right to do that. But I don't think that's the right thing to do. If another station became a spokesperson for, say, Biden or for Obama, you know, the right would be going crazy. So I would hope that the right would go crazy over any news media saying that they're going to, you know, represent the administration. So I think it's fine that they had a Democrat on and that they have other people on. But there's been some criticism of that. So we got to talk about that. Also, U.S. Treasury is considering production of a $1 coin featuring President Trump on the front and the back. The president's face would be on the front and the back of the $1 coin in honor of him. I wonder who came up with that idea. Let's see. Also, Mark Sanchez, a former football player and commentator for the NFL, he's now facing felony charges after a fight about a parking spot. Some of you may have heard that Mark Sanchez was stabbed. Well, there's a little more to it than just that. Sanchez had his original charge upgraded to a felony. There was a fight that broke out outside a bar in Indiana. Now, he was in Indiana to do color commentary for the Indianapolis Colts playing the Las Vegas Raiders. And he faces 1 to 6 years in prison for this. He was originally charged with three misdemeanors, including battery with injury, unlawful entry to a motor vehicle, and public intoxication. Things became physical. The battery charge has now been upgraded to a felony. Mark Sanchez, 38 years old. You know, he was a big college player and then played with the Jets for a while in the NFL, and now he's a commentator. He attacked the 69-year-old food delivery driver. They argued over a parking spot, and the driver reportedly told police that he used pepper spray to stop Sanchez, but that wouldn't stop him. So he pulled out a knife in self-defense and stabbed Sanchez several times. Sanchez was hospitalized and later arrested for his role in the fight. So we'll talk about that as well. Hey, the president is considering giving every American $2,000 in a tariff dividend. Guess what? I'll take it. If you want to join us with a comment, it's Manic Monday. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Yeah, wow, Saints won. It feels
so
great.
Nice. Feels good. Feels good. Feels great. I had a great time watching the game. I'm so glad about the W. I'm happy for the Broncos. I'm happy for the Titans.
I'm not happy for the Broncos.
I
don't care if the Broncos win. I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, I honestly believe, I think Sean Payton, I think he screwed the Saints over. I think he took advantage of a situation. I don't blame him for wanting to go to a bigger city. That's not what my problem is. But my problem is, you know, he kind of gave us this line about, I'm done with football. I don't think he was ever done with football, and I think he was kind of deceptive. And I don't care if the Broncos win or lose.
Well, the Broncos have had a pretty bad time since, you know, when they had Peyton Manning and they went to the Super Bowl and all that. It's really been it's been a dark time for a Broncos fan.
And, I don't care.
You know, growing up in Colorado, I know a lot of Broncos fan. A lot of my close family. You know, let them have a taste of victory. If they're going to beat the Eagles, great. Who the hell knows what else they'll do this season, but yeah. That was a fun game.
Well, okay. I mean, I get it. You know, I was a Denver Broncos fan briefly, too. I lived second to the Saints. I mean, no matter where I lived, I was always a Saints fan first, but then I was also a fan of the team in the city in which I lived. And I was in Denver for, I guess, about 7 years. So, I did enjoy the Broncos. And I would say that I was a Broncos fan. But right now, I don't care if they win or lose. I just don't care.
Well, that's fair. That's totally fair. We do have a bunch of texts here that we should tuck in before we take a break. Here's one that says, hey, the Saints dropped the ball after crossing the goal line.
I didn't see that.
They always drop the ball after they cross the goal line, as opposed to certain players for the Arizona Cardinals who drop the ball before they cross the goal line.
Did that happen over the weekend?
That's what happened in the Tennessee-Arizona game.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
The Titans have lost, like, I don't know, 10 games in a row or something. I was listening to Steve and Jeff talk about this yesterday morning. Titans are terrible.
Yeah.
But they won yesterday because of a very improbable set of plays where a guy dropped the ball, you know, on his way to a touchdown celebration. He dropped it before he broke the plane.
I've seen that happen before, and it's like, how embarrassed would you be? I mean, you dropped the ball before you crossed the goal. I mean,
so stupid.
You know, do your job first. I mean, just do your job.
Yeah. And then just a little while later, Tennessee threw a pick that was then fumbled and recovered in the end zone for a touchdown.
Oh, wow.
And I think after that, they got a field goal and they won. Yeah.
Wow. I missed that. We're gonna go over some of the scores in just a few minutes from college and the NFL. But I totally missed that game because I didn't really care about either team playing.
Mark the Historian says, Saints, Patriots, Navy, SLU, Notre Dame. I always thought Notre Dame, but I know it's not correct. Notre Dame and Chalmette all won. Packers, Tulane, and LSU were off. None of my teams lost this week, so I'm happy. And I'll leave you with this one. Soothsayer Sam says, the ironic part of yesterday is that Blake Groupie scored 54% of the points scored by the Saints. The offense and defense scored 23% of the total.
Wow.
It really was Groupie's game.
But it wasn't because he missed two field goals.
Because he missed two field goals.
He missed two field goals that he could have won.
And yet.
Was it a 26-yarder and a 54-yarder?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
you
got to
make those. And look, these are not the first that he's missed. I mean, he's missed others this year. I mean, you got to be more consistent than that if you want to be a kicker in the NFL.
And then did you see the Vikings game in London? They missed a field goal because it hit the camera wire.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you're supposed to re-kick that, and the officials were, I don't know, yeah. They just didn't see the tape, or they were just anxious to get home from London. I don't know what the hell.
We're going
to
talk about the officials and that ridiculous call of roughing the passer yesterday in the dome.
Oh, that was such nonsense.
We're going to talk about that when we come back here in just a few minutes. All right, if you've got a comment, you want to join us, look, the Saints won. I mean, this is good news. I have to tell you that I think it was rather comical when I heard people who were being interviewed who were leaving the dome yesterday saying, "We're going to the Super Bowl." Could we be a little more realistic? Could we maybe hope that we somehow get to the playoffs? I really lose respect for Saints fans that just, you know, we win one game, we're 4-1, and we're going to the Super Bowl!
Lighten up, man. Let them have some fun,
would
you?
Oh, my God.
We're going to the Super Bowl!
Well, how can
you? It feels good. It feels good to say, even if it's categorically untrue.
If that's your attitude, how are you going to not be disappointed? I mean, if your goal is that grand, how are you not going to be disappointed?
Counterpoint, if you're that delusional, how can you ever be disappointed?
Well, maybe.
You are detached from reality.
I guess so.
In a way that makes you immune from responsibility for bad
feelings. All right,
feelings
I'll let it
like
go,
that.
But it just, you know, it's just like the mean IQ of the Saints fans in general goes down every time somebody in a situation like this says, "We're going to the Super Bowl."
We're going to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Well,
we got a song to dedicate to Group A. Missed two, and these are not the first ones he's missed this year. This is for you, Groupie. Yeah, you got to make more of those. I'm Scoot. We are coming right back on Manic Monday on W.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. That's right, man. We got one in a row. One in a row. I'm going to enjoy this while I can. But look, I think it's going to be a great game. This is a great matchup setting up because, look, New England is coming back. The Patriots are not this patsy team that they have been in the past. I'm Scoot. Let me run over some of the notes that I took during the game. And if you want to add anything to this, please do. I love on Monday afternoon to get your impression of the game. And I know many of you know a lot about football, and you love to share your insight. And I love hearing from just average fans, too. If you want to join us with a comment about the game yesterday, positive or negative, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Great to have Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau back in a uniform, back on the bench. And Taysom Hill, I thought he looked pretty good. You know, I had an ACL tear and ACL replacement not once but twice on my left knee, and I know what it's like to rehab that. Now, I wasn't a professional athlete, so I didn't have the equipment or the people around me to rehab like these guys rehab, but I can tell you I have great respect for anybody who tears an ACL, goes through reconstruction surgery, and comes back because it's rough. And you always question the stability of that knee. And some people come back right away. Now, Taysom Hill is a little older. He's in his 30s. For guys in their 20s, excuse me, it's easier for them to come back than somebody in their 30s. And I know that's still young, but, you know, that's just a medical fact there. Here's what I didn't like. A few more passes dropped by Alvin Kamara and Juwan Johnson. And I know that one pass to Johnson was a little behind him, but, I mean, he had both hands on it. And, you know, I watch other games, and I see receivers catch those passes. You know, like Stephon Diggs, man, he catches those passes. Groupe missed 52 and 26-yard field goals. Need to make those field goals. He hasn't been that consistent. Is it in his head? You know, stuff gets into the heads of these kickers and really other players as well. And, you know, he's got the leg to do it. So at this point, it seems like it's psychological. And I would think that he has the resources, and the Saints certainly have the resources, to bring in some kind of sports psychologist to talk to him about stuff that gets into your head. Because obviously there's maybe some stuff in his head. Rattler was once again a little iffy in the red zone. But boy, you got to love that pass that he threw to Sheed. That was incredible. I mean, Sheed did not break his pace at all. The ball was perfectly thrown, and that was one hell of a pass thrown. The Saints forced turnovers. Jordan Howden scooped up a Scataboo's fumble and then just ran it back for a touchdown. Kool-Aid snagged a Jackson Dart pass out of the air. I mean, it was going by. He wasn't going to let the ball go by. He reached up and he snagged it out of the air for an interception. And that was with about 5 minutes left in the game. Fourth and five, about 4 minutes left, and the Saints are in the lead. And the Saints went for it. Fourth and five, 4 minutes left, Saints are in the lead. I loved it. I love that kind of gutsy call. And Rattler threw a perfect pass to Sheed for a first down. Late in the game, Granderson tackled Jackson Dart. Yes, he tackled Jackson Dart. He did not rough Jackson Dart. He got called for roughing the passer. It was a clinical type tackle of a quarterback. It was a terrible call. Ian, what I'd like to do when we get off the air today, well, it's going to be 4 o'clock. I mean, we may have to do it in the morning.
You?
No. No.
Because I could do it. That was a textbook 101. That's like,
it was. So you want me to just stand there like Jackson Dart and let you just get a running start and just tackle me in the hall?
Yeah. Just so we can show them how it's done.
Well, we could do a video of that after the show.
Yeah, we sure could. But that's not really what you were going to ask.
All right, so look, I want to call the NFL, and I want to talk to somebody because I'd like to find out what is the punishment. What are the repercussions for an official who gets a call that wrong? Because that was a blatantly wrong call. And I know they're not going to want to say much, but I want to really put the effort forward. I want to call them and ask them if somebody could talk to us about what that official might be dealing with after that bad call.
Interesting. I bet they will not do that.
Well, but let's try.
Okay.
I mean, let's push for it. And if they don't want to talk about it, then that's a topic. That's a show. It's a show about nothing. They don't want to talk about it. They say nothing. That's a show.
I mean, I can kind of guess what they would say. They would be like, you know, they say the same thing every other time there's an obvious call that the officials get wrong. Like, what did they say after the NOLA no call? They were like, yeah, sometimes people get it wrong, but we have systems in place to double check their work and blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that's what I'd like to find out.
What happens to that guy? He moves on to the next game.
But I think the fans are owed an explanation for what happens to officials who get calls wrong. We should know because we get the impression that they're just all exonerated, that they're never held accountable for bad calls and they just go on to another game. And I would like the NFL to tell us, the fans, because I think they owe that to us, what are the repercussions for the officials if they get a call that wrong.
I think we are maybe somewhere between 3 and 5 years away from having clankers take over the job of, you know, being referees in the NFL anyway. You saw, you know, like many millions of people saw yesterday, this weird, like, we use a computer-aided spot to see, like, what, you know.
The virtual first down.
Yeah, the virtual, yeah, it was 1 inch short. who asked for that?
Yeah, but let's just call, let's push for it. Let's call, I mean, it's, this is not a trap call. I'm not a shock jock. I just want them to know that we just would like, we'd like an explanation. You and I will talk about it after the show, but I really want to approach the NFL with that. Also on my notes, much better tackling with the Saints. They finished some of the tackles, and I thought that was great because up until that game, they, you know, they would get both of their arms around even the legs of a player sometimes, and they weren't finishing. They weren't just, they weren't clinching the arms together and bringing somebody down. But better tackling. And, you know, by the way, also the Broncos in the game against the Eagles, there was a no call on the 1 yard line that was obvious interference, and that helped the Broncos. So I just feel like we, the fans, need to know what's going on with the officials and how they are treated if they get a call that is just obviously wrong. And that call against Granderson, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with the outcome of the game, but it was a bad call, and I think the fans are owed an explanation from the NFL. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Do you remember last week I said that Jackson Dart, the quarterback from Ole Miss, who's now the starting quarterback for the Giants, remember I said, you know, a lot of times when you have a really great game and nothing is expected of you, and then you come back after that and you try, when you think, I did so great, and I really wasn't even trying. I mean, I was trying, but I was just relaxed, and I did so great. Now I'm going to do even better. And they try too hard. And it's like with anything that you do, it's called spontaneous recovery in the psychological world. It's called spontaneous recovery. If you haven't done something for a long time, like golf, for example, and I use this example, if you haven't played golf for a long time and you go back and you play golf and you do a great job, you were relaxed. And you're thinking, I haven't played in a long time. I probably won't do that well. You're just relaxed and you're just playing golf. You did a great job. If you come back a couple of days later and you think, if I did that well and I was just, you know, not even really trying, now I'm going to really try to get it to do even better. I'm going to really try to just be great. You end up trying too hard and you blow it. And I talked about it last week. I predicted it last week. I think that's what happened to Jackson Dart. I think he was a victim of spontaneous recovery. He just did this great job of playing in the first game because nothing was expected of him. Then he tries to top it, and he's consciously working on being better. And the Saints defense helped him not look better. But I thought today we would dedicate this song to Jackson Dart because I think that, you know, he was just, I think he was trying too hard in addition to the Saints defense playing better. But this is for Jackson Dart. Yesterday. All right. It's Manic Monday. I'm Scoot. Saints won. That feels great. And we'll be back on WWE.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all right, Manic Monday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. I met a bunch of our listeners this weekend. I had a very busy weekend. Friday night, I was at Back to the Bounty at Rock and Bowl with Harvey Jesus and his son David and Karma. And then Saturday, Gretna Fest. And we'll talk about all that later. I want to talk about some of the big NFL scores. We're going to get to that this afternoon. And, man, there were some major upsets in college football over the weekend. What in the hell has happened to the University of Texas and Arch Manning? They were predicted number one in the country at the beginning of the season. They have dropped out of the top 25. What's going on there? I think it's in Arch Manning's head. I think something's in his head. And, I mean, I hope he gets out of that because apparently the guy's got unbelievable natural talent, but he's letting his... He's letting his brain get in the way of that. And then Penn State, what did I tell you? Penn State, when they were playing Oregon, I said Oregon's going to beat Penn State because Penn State can't win the big game. Well, Penn State loses to Oregon, and they were number two in the country. They lose to Oregon. I think they dropped down to nine or something like that, maybe seven. And then they lose to UCLA, an unranked team, and now Penn State goes from number two. They're out of the top 25. And we'll get to more of that next hour. All right, let's go to Gus on the causeway. Gus, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Gus.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I've got a few bones to pick with you.
Oh, go ahead.
I got through with you slamming the Saints fans for hollering Super Bowl. Give these guys a break. They pay thousands of dollars just for the tickets. I don't know what parking is, hot dogs, hamburgers. Let them have their fun. They know they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, no, so, I think some of them think they are.
I think they're caught up in the excitement of the game. And then you go on to hammer Sean Payton, the hero of our city, for taking another job after the Saints. Let me compare it to you, Scoot. You're like the quarterback of this station when you're on. Let's say you decide to hang up your microphone today and say, you know what, I love New Orleans, but I'm done. I've had enough of this. And then CNN, or more likely MSNBC, comes to you and says, hey, we've got an opportunity here of the lifetime. If you took that, nobody in New Orleans would be upset. So why be upset at Sean Payton when he does that? And it brings me to the main point of my call, Scoot, is think about all the many, many times you've hammered on Trump and then came back the next day and said, wow, a 180. He was completely right on that, and I was wrong, so I apologize. So it just doesn't make any sense to me.
That didn't happen that often, but I don't want to get into that. Let's stick with the Saints here. Look, Gus, I understand what you're saying, and I get it. As far as the Saints fans are concerned, if they're saying it, look, I don't really care that much. You know, I really don't. I mean, I'm just kind of making fun of this this delusion that, but this is the way a lot of Saints fans have thought over the years. I mean, we win three games in the preseason and we're going to the Super Bowl, and I guess I'm talking about the fans that are just totally unrealistic about what it takes to even get to the playoffs. And so I think some of the fans that I heard yesterday on the news might have been being a little sarcastic, but I think some of them are really serious. And so,
you know what? I get it.
But I mean, it's fair to comment. I'm just commenting. I'm not suggesting the death penalty for those who shout, let's go to the Super Bowl.
And what about the Sean Payton?
As far as Sean Payton is concerned, I'm not losing sleep over it. But, you know, when it comes to sports, we have different reasons for being for or against somebody. And, you know, sometimes a player that we love might go to another team and we don't want the other team to win, or we want the other team to win because of the player. I mean, it's just sports. It's just having an opinion. I'm not crucifying anybody. And
I get it. You're not crucifying them. However, it's just to compare to your job. If you left and took a big time job for a national news agency, nobody's going to be chapped at you, even though you were our guy on the ground in New Orleans.
I appreciate that. I get that, Gus, and I appreciate that. And I also said, though, I've got to get to a break, but I do want to explain this. I did say I don't blame Sean Payton for wanting to go to a bigger city. I mean, I did it. And I don't blame him for wanting to do that. But it just seemed like the way he did it was a little shady with the Saints in how he exited. That's my observation of what happened. But it's not like I'm going to go on all day talking about it. It's just I don't care if the Broncos win or lose. So that's That's my opinion. And some people want the Broncos to win because of Sean Payton. And look, you know, the Saints had a lot of 7-9 seasons with Sean Payton. You know, he brought us to one Super Bowl, but we had a lot of down years with Sean Payton as well. I'm not taking anything away from the Super Bowl, but this city has a tendency to just get so caught up in this one victory that it's almost like there's a feeling that we don't have to do it again. Well, yeah, the hunger should still be there, and we should want more. All right, a lot of rain this morning and some over the weekend, especially yesterday, but we made it. Seems like we're through it for now. But we'll talk more about this. I've got to get to a break. We'll be back on WWL. All right, coming up in the next hour, let's talk a little more about this, because I didn't say either of these things just to, you know, to get people upset. So we'll talk a little bit more about Sean Payton and the Broncos, and we'll talk a little bit more about Saints fans shouting after the game, "We're going to the Super Bowl!" I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.